And so this morning we got a special brother, a special honor, and to come up here, and Fernando Astorga. And we go way back, me and Fernando and a few guys here. We went to elementary school together, to junior high, to high school. And so I'm excited to hear what the Lord speak through him. And give him heaven, brother.
Amen.
All right.
Yeah, we go a long ways back. Long way. What about this little? But that little.
And we still are.
I only grew a few inches. good morning, church. How are you guys? I see some friends of mine. I see Andy and Danny. I see my brother, you know. And I see all you guys. I see my wife, my mom. She's here. Wow, you know. My good friend Richard, you know, and a bunch of other people, you know, Julie and everyone else. And if I've missed names, I'm sorry, you know, but let's pray, right? We thank you, Father, for your great love for us. What an amazing love you have for us. For you, Jesus, who took our sin and nailed it to the cross, whereby drawing all men unto yourself. You are the hope of glory, the light of the world, and the shepherd of our souls. May you bless us with your presence by the power of the Holy Spirit. May you, Father, be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to thank Pastor Stevie for asking me to come up here. I was kind of nervous to do it at the last minute, prepare at the last minute. Got up at 4 this morning and finished the rest of it. Try to write it all down, you know, but let the Holy Spirit lead, you know. And first of all, I had to ask myself, you know, well, my name is Fernando. And some of you know me as Maribel's husband, you know. Which is all right, you know, that's okay. And I've known Pastor, like I said, I've known Pastor Stevie for a long time. I'd like to thank my family and friends for coming out here, you know. And we all of us here are a family, you know, every single one of us here. We pray for each other. We lift each other up in prayer. And all of us should have a testimony, every single one of us. Every single one of us. Because when God changes our life, you are never the same again. Never. So what is a testimony? Testimony from the Greek word maturia, meaning a witness or a report or a record. Also, we get original word meaning martyr from the Greek word. So I'm going to start off with 1 Peter, because I want to lay the groundwork of why I'm giving a testimony. So in 1 Peter 3:15, the Word of God says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And of course, Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, who? Satan. The accuser of our souls. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So not only does it help me as a Christian continue this walk that God has placed before me, but also for each and every one of you. Because when someone asks you, why are you different? Why have you changed? Why don't you do what the world's doing? You have an answer to give. Amen? So this is my story, but it's really God's story, you know, and of countless others who have gone before us, who have experienced, faced the undeserved grace and mercy of a loving God who brings light into darkness and life to the dead. I was dead. I was like one of them zombies walking around, you know. Those who are without Christ are actually the wrath of God is on them. You know, they're not alive, you know. And so anyways, this is my account of how God rescued me from sin and death through Christ and forever changed my destiny and life. So I'm going to start off with growing up. Growing up, I always had this mental picture of God in my mind that, you know, does he care? You know, I grew up in Catholic Church. I went to catechism. I went to Our Lady of Angels Catholic Church, you know. But I got to thinking, I was even an altar boy. You know, I was over there when they had the Lord's Supper and they would hold the bread up and supposedly it would turn into the body of Jesus, you know. And that's the way I grew up, you know, believing this, you know. And I was the altar boy in the white that used to ring the bell every time he lifted it up, you know. One time I rang it at a different time. The father gave me a dirty look, you know. But, you know, I'm not trying to knock the Catholicism, you know, but it just wasn't enough. I mean, I really didn't know who God was. I didn't. I got a mental picture of him looking down at me and always saying, "You're doing bad. You know, you're bad. You know, I didn't know I could know him. I didn't know, you know. Or he was always mad at me and just trying to keep me from having fun, you know. So I guess throughout my life, I was always looking for some kind of acceptance, some kind of affirmation to acknowledge me. You know, we all want that in our lives. You know, maybe I did more than others. I don't know. But I always wanted to be recognized, you know. So I joined the gang. Pastor Stevie was the leader. you know, we got a few ex-gang members up there, you know, in the back row hiding. I see you guys. I mean, call you out front and center, but you know, God has a purpose for our lives. You know, when I joined the gang, I wanted to be accepted. You know, I wanted to be around people who thought the same way I did, who acted the same way I did, who liked the things I liked. I liked getting high. I liked smoking weed, drinking, and all this led to eventually to an addiction that consumed me for 25 years. I could see a third of my life, but if I was 75, then I could actually say it was a third of my life that consumed me. So eventually, you know, this drug addiction and took me to prison. You know, I ended up doing 4 prison terms, you know. And I won't go into details, but there was a lot of shame and desperation. Cover your ears, Mom. She don't like to hear her oldest son, you know, her firstborn, you know, talking about the pain and the turmoil and the things that we go through when you're addicted. I mean, I don't know if you guys are familiar with heroin, but it takes a hold of your life. It consumes everything about you. I got to the point where every time I got out, no one wanted me around. If I couldn't steal from you, I would try to talk it out of you. And this was all to support my habit. I put my mom through a lot. Put the people around me who loved me through a lot. But all I cared about was myself. No one else. It was me getting my heroin and getting lost, and not having to worry about nothing, not having to face reality, not even having to face God. You know, he was in the back of my mind. I didn't have to face none of that. I was just happy, and Satan had me deceived. But I tell you something, God doesn't leave. When he comes after you, he comes after you. But God in his great mercy and love was bringing me to my brokenness. So through all this time and you know, I had two children. I was still addicted to heroin. They grew up without a, they grew up not knowing who their father really was. So I ended up in the mid-90s in a cell, kicking heroin. Excuse me. And I was sick. I felt, not only was I dope sick or I needed more heroin, but I felt this pressure, this blackness, this darkness, this no hope, just pressing on my spirit. And I remember going in the cell, and there was a Christian, another guy there. I guess he was a Christian because he had his Bible out and he was reading. And as he read the Bible, my heart softened. You know, that was God reaching out to me. I was broken. I mean, I had contemplated suicide. I had contemplated just doing a hot shot and just leaving the world, you know, and saying, you know what, everybody's better without me, you know. Why was I even born if I was to live like this? It was like a merry-go-round, you know. I remember in that cell when as he's reading, thinking, here I am, I think I was 45 years old, and I hadn't accomplished nothing. I didn't have no wife, kids that didn't know me, no car, no house. No one wanted to be around me. Nobody trusted me. You know how lonely someone can get when no one wants to be around you because they can't trust you? Because you're so bad that they can't trust you. They're afraid of you. My own parents were afraid of me, you know. I had people looking at me, oh, no, he's getting out, you know. Now what, you know. Man, what a life to live, you know. So in that cell, I was broken. And the guy's name was Carlos, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ in that cell. Amen. And all these things that I had done, I mean, there are so many things that I'm so ashamed of that I could never, ever tell anybody except God. You know, I mean, God knows my heart, you know. But for me, it wasn't a conversion right away. You know, it wasn't a conversion. It wasn't like wham, bam, boom, you fall backwards and all of a sudden you get up a new person. No, for me, it was a slow walk. I had to learn about God. I had to study his word. I had to find out who he was because I didn't know how to love. In fact, I didn't even know how to accept love from God, let alone accept love from God. But I know in his word that he loved me so much that he gave me his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I knew this part, you know. I just didn't understand it. So over the years, when I did that stint in prison, I did a lot of praying. I did a lot of crying. I did a lot of soul searching and just asking God to reveal himself to me, to help me, you know, kick this habit, to help me, you know, be a better person, to help me know what love was, because I really didn't know. You know, when you live in the darkness for a long time without God, I was very prideful, callous, cruel, unloving and unforgiving. So now that the Holy Spirit started working on my heart and giving me a hunger for his word, he started removing these stones in my heart, these barriers. He was preparing me for a relationship, but not only with him, but for my future wife. Isn't that amazing? God thinks way ahead, you know. Not only was he preparing me, but he was healing me. There's a lot of things that I mean, I'm scarred. You know, we all of us are scarred by this world. And, you know, even Jesus, when he took the nails on his hands and his feet, and after he resurrected, he even showed Thomas. So he still has those scars, you know. And I'm pretty sure when we meet Jesus and we ask him, can I see those scars? He'll show you. So, I mean, we all have scars, you know, and there's this, I looked it online, there's this Japanese art of kintsugi. It deals with a bowl or a teapot or a precious vase. When it falls, it breaks. And probably into 1,000 pieces. And we end up throwing that away. Yet this technique, the kintsugi technique, uses liquid gold, silver, to bring together the pieces at the same time, enhancing the breaks, thus making the item more valuable. Isn't that amazing? To create two works of art with each its own story and beauty, thanks to the unique breaks. So each of us has scars that when we're broken, when God breaks us, we're unique. You know, he knows each and every one of us. And we are now more precious, you know, because of the breaks. You know, so in 1999, my father died while I was locked up. And I never got to tell him bye. I remember when he had cancer, he got like 80 pounds. He had stomach cancer. He got like 80 pounds, and he couldn't eat. He starved to death. You know, I remember him telling me before I had got locked up, why don't you quit? Why don't you quit heroin? I'd like to see you one day be clean. I couldn't do that. I never did that. Never told him how much I missed him. So when I got out in 2002, I visited his gravesite, and I bawled like a baby. You know, God was teaching me something, you know. He was healing me because I didn't grieve my dad till I got out. So, and the next, and then in November 2002 was the last time I've been to prison. Amen. So when I got out in 2002, that was the last time I ever visited prison. I was no longer prisoner. The chains were gone. So the next 5 years I spent in a rehab. And I went to church and I worked and continued to be part of my healing process. And but the heart of a man's soul is deep. You know, there's a lot of things in there that God has to deal with. And he wasn't done with me yet. I was still walking. And so in 2006, I met Maribel. And Andy's the one that brought us together. He invited me over. Anita, too. Anita was part of that. Hi, Anita. Give you credit. So So anyways, when I met my wife, the romance still continues today, you know. In 2007, my family suffered another tragedy, not only the loss of my sister, Malva. She was a third in line. It was me, my brother, Charlie, and my sister, Malva. She went to, she left her four kids behind, went to Eagle Pass, Texas, with her boyfriend. They stayed with their, with the boyfriend's mom and his tia, or aunt, you know, the mom's sister. So during that time, a tornado came and picked up the motorhome and dashed it to pieces, killing them. Believe me, if our family did not have God, I don't know how we wouldn't have made it. You know, I don't know how it is to lose a child. My mom, you know, bless my mom. She when she told me about it, she was crying. You know, and I guess during times of great loss and grief, God is at work in our hearts. You know. And then in 2007, you know, it's funny because Maribel comforted me during those times because we were still dating, and she comforted me, and she was the most kindest, gentlest soul I have ever met. I had never been accustomed to that, never been accustomed to someone just being so kind and gentle. You know, it was almost like, as if the Lord was using her, you know. And I fell in love with that. Oh, my God. And we got married in July 21st, 2007. And then in 2009, my niece, my brother's daughter, she's 25 years old. She had an aneurysm and died. You know, we remember at the hospital, there's a reason to all this. All these bad things that are happening, all this, there's a reason why this is part of my story. Because in this story is God healing me, is God helping me, is God bringing me closer to Him. Because during times of trouble is when God is the closest. At the darkest night is when the lights shine bright. You know, so when my niece died, we were at the hospital, and she donated some organs. And the people who, I mean, they don't mean to be, inconsiderate, but they want to harvest those organs right away. Well, she was considered brain dead, so they wanted to harvest the organs before they started deteriorating. So they asked my brother, hey, can we start harvesting her organs? And my brother got mad. Yeah, you guys are a bunch of vultures waiting for her to die. And the doctor went to talk to my brother and told her, you know, according to state law, if she has no brain activity, she's considered legally dead, and they can take her organs whenever, you know. I didn't know that, but eventually we said our goodbyes to her, she brought life and hope to other people too with her organs, you know. A few years later, you know, as we were married, me and Maribel, she went through a period of pain and depression. I don't know, you know, marriage, you know, I would say the marriage is, you know, the honeymoon was over. And now the real walk comes on, you know. And she was dealing with a lot of pain and depression. And I kept thinking it was me, you know. I kept thinking, what did I do wrong, you know. We ended up drifting apart, you know. And you know what? The enemy is always looking for a way in. every single time. Guaranteed, he's watching you. He's watching you, you know. So during work, I broke my hand. You know, I broke my finger and cut my hand pretty good, and I had to go to the doctor. They prescribed me some Percocets. That's like, I mean, don't give Percocets to an ex-addict. You know, I was healed, you know. I was healed, but it just brought up old feelings, you know. And my wife didn't know anything about this, you know. We were totally different, you know. I was streetwise. She didn't know anything about the street, you know. I would joke, and she was like, what, you know. Well, now she's quick-witted. She's very, very quick-witted, you know. She comes back right away. So it's almost like giving alcohol to an alcoholic who can't sleep, you know. So I ended up, after the Percocets run out and the doctor wouldn't give me no more, she had some Percocets. I used hers, asked her, you know. She didn't know anything about that, so I ended up becoming addicted again, full-blown addiction. And I was going to church and everything, you know, but the enemy deceived. He's very deceiving. So when my wife found out about it, she kind of knew, you know, you can't hide anything from your spouse, you know. You can't hide anything. They know when you lie. So she started seeing me sleeping and not eating and me losing weight. And she goes, something's going on. And she looked at my lunchbox and found the drugs. And she asked Valerie, called up Valerie. Hey, Valerie, what are these? And Valerie went and confirmed what they were. And Maribel got $100 worth of drugs and threw it down the... in the trash and smashed it, you know. And when I got back, I was mad. What'd you do with it, you know? And then she goes, you know, you need some help. You need prayer and you need some help. And we need to confront this. And I was like, you know what? This is me. This is me. If you don't like it, there's the door. You know, there's the door. And she goes, no. She goes, no, that's no answer. We're going to fight together. And we did. Amen. You know, and that's why she was still so special with me. She didn't give up. Just like God doesn't give up on us. He doesn't. I mean, it doesn't matter what you're going through. God is not going to give up. She gave me my birthday was last week, Sunday. She gave me a birthday card. And I'm going to read it to you, all right? It says, well, it says, you're selfless, strong, respected too. You make our family proud of you. But the biggest thing that drew me was you're married to your biggest fan. I said, wow. I said, wow. I said, there's my theme. That God is my biggest fan. God is your biggest fan. Amen. He wants you to succeed in this life. He didn't save you for nothing. He has a purpose for you. You know, whether how bad it may be or how bad things may look, in my addiction, I was like, you know, forget it. This is me. Maribel goes, no, we're going to work it out. There were scars. There was trust issues. You know, we dealt with it. But it was a commitment. Marriage is a commitment. Amen. And for me, when God brought her into my life and me into her life, you know, God knew what he was doing. He always knows what he's doing. So we came out the other end wiser and more committed. And God is sovereign over every circumstance, over every circumstance. In 2017, because of my drug use, I was diagnosed with Hep C and cirrhosis of the liver. And I went through a round of Harvoni, trying to get rid of it, you know. It's 99 or 98 or something like that, 99% effective, but I'm special. It didn't work on me. It didn't work on me. I'm special. I'm the hard case, you know. They did more testing, they said I had cirrhosis of the liver, and then after the Harvoni treatment, they told me, you know what, it looks like you have liver cancer. So all these things that happened, I was learning that God was bringing me closer and closer to Him. All of these things that were happening, had brought me that much closer. I was getting to know the heart of God, getting to know how much He loves me and how much He was going to walk with me through all these things, not only with my wife, but with everyone that prayed for me. I know Maribel brought her to the church and everybody was praying, and there was a few times when I used to wake up in the middle of the night and just praise the Lord, and because I knew somebody was praying for me. So I had to go through a round of chemo. With this one, where they put it, straight in your in my liver. They didn't go through my blood, so I didn't get the hair loss and everything. I could blame this bald spot on that, but I but I'm not. The doctor did a check after he did the chemo, and he says, you know what? It shrunk. I said, God is at work, And then they said, we're going to burn the rest out with microwaves. So they went back in the hospital. They stuck something in my liver, and they burned it with microwaves. And I am cancer-free. Thank God. Amen. It's all because of God, In 2018, Maribel was diagnosed with lymphoma. There's a big C again, And they recommended around 15 sessions of radiation. That's brutal. Because when I used to take her, they made a mask for her and they put it on her so they could map the area they're going to do radiation on her. So as she's doing the radiation every day, like for maybe three times a week, and then we go to next, it lasted for about like 3 weeks, and I met a lot of people over there. I seen a lot of people that were hurting, in the office that had mastectomies and just people just hurting. And, with the cancer and getting the radiation. And so after her brutal round of radiation, they did another test on her, and they didn't find any more cancer. Amen. So, in closing, I don't know what life is going to bring your way, but I know that God walks through us through every single moment of our lives. I'm so thankful that He saved me, that I'm not the same person I used to be. Amen. Danny knows. My wife doesn't know who I used to be. My mom knows. There's a big weight that's been lifted off of me, And when I get it, like I said, every one of you should have a testimony, because every one of you has that person out there who God wants you to minister to. And in closing, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 4, 6 to 10. I'm sorry, Stevie.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
And the Word of God says, for God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. And through this suffering, God receive all the glory and honor in our lives. Thank you.